Be nice, Debbie. Good afternoon, everyone. Chaplain Michael Gavigan.
Hopefully I pronounced your name right.
You did. The late comedian Red Skelton was asked once, "Why is it that you've dedicated your entire life to making other people happy?" And this was his reply: "If you have a talent, it is a gift from God. If you decide to use that talent, it is your gift to Him." May we bow for our invocation. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you do. We thank you for the United States of America, for our state, and for our city, Ocala. We thank you for the freedom that we all enjoy at your expense. We recognize that from early on in our history, you have ordained the function of government. That purpose is for the protection and preservation of the human race. So, Father, we thank you for the talented individuals assembled here today who have been chosen to represent us, our mayor, city council, police and fire chiefs, and all those in positions of authority over and for us. Give them a spirit of grace and wisdom. Give them a spirit of fairness and, above all, selfless honor. And may we all be mindful of your admonition: to whom much is given, much is required. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I still didn't get in trouble, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
A drawer.
I've got three of them.
Not a drawer.
Okay, let's see. Angel,
yes,
would
sir?
You please call the roll?
Sure. Mr. Gwynn?
Here.
Mr. Musley?
Here.
Mr. Molliver?
Here.
Ms. Rich?
Here.
Mr. McLeod?
Here. And before we go on to awards and presentations, I'd like to welcome Ms. Rich back, and I want you to know that we missed you a great deal, and we also want you to know that it is basketball season. So no more gloating, dear.
Okay, thank you.
Awards and presentations. Proclamation, Human Trafficking Awareness Day in the City of Ocala. Sarah Evans.
Trafficking Awareness Day, and the proclamation reads as follows. Says, whereas human trafficking is an organized crime against individuals that violates the most basic of human rights, whereas the people of Florida, regardless of political persuasion, creed, race, or national origin, stand together with the global community to protect the fundamental freedoms and rights of all persons to fight the proliferation of human trafficking in all its forms, and to assist survivors of modern-day slavery. And whereas every level of government must work to end human trafficking, and human trafficking occurs when a person is recruited or obtained through force or coercion for the purposes of sexual or labor exploitation, and human traffickers target marginalized children, women, and men, isolating them from society and exploiting them for personal and monetary gain. Whereas human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world today, and it's estimated that 17,500 people are annually trafficked into the United States, and under Florida and U.S. law, any person under 18 involved in the commercial sex industry is considered a human trafficking victim. And victims include U.S. citizens, undocumented immigrants, and traffickers use techniques to keep their victims enslaved, that slavery, or that severely limit self-reporting, and they require broad public awareness of human trafficking issues for enforcement and prevention to occur. And whereas Florida is a prime location for human trafficking because it's a major transportation corridor in culturally diverse state, in the state of Florida, and the Florida State Constitution declares that all persons are by nature free and independent and have certain natural and inalienable rights. Now, therefore, I can't win by the virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the city of Ocala to hereby proclaim January 11th each year as Human Trafficking Awareness Day in the city of Ocala and urge all Floridians to raise their awareness of the signs and consequences of human trafficking, to promote opposition to human trafficking in all forms, and to encourage support to survivors of human trafficking throughout the state of Florida and across the world to put an end to this criminal activity and restore freedom and dignity to survivors. Witness whereof, I'm here to set my hand and cause the seal of the city of Ocala, Florida, to be affixed to set up in January 2014, to get one there, city of Ocala.
All right. Things you'd like to add to that?
Sure. Can we hold that for you, Wade?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for recognizing this important issue. Today, my name is Sarah Evans. I am a senior in high school in Gainesville and a Girl Scout of 12 years. This proclamation is part of my Gold Award, which is equivalent to the Eagle in Boy Scouts. My organization and project, Camp Girl Zen, goal is to raise awareness about human trafficking in the United States. Human trafficking, or modern-day slavery, is one of the fastest-growing criminal enterprises in the world, and is a system of enslavement of women, children, and men to be used and broken over and over again. This is so important to us because Florida is the third-ranked destination state for human trafficking, and human trafficking affects us every day of our lives. Many of the materials in our cell phones, TVs, and homes are made by slaves. January 11th is the national day to raise awareness about human trafficking. By issuing this proclamation, we're standing with the rest of the nation to say that human trafficking must come to an end. This time is also especially important because of the Super Bowl, which occurred Sunday. Though most people don't realize it, the Super Bowl locale is a hub for sex trafficking. In fact, over 10,000 girls and women are brought there every year to be sold for sex. I believe this is unacceptable because we live in the land of free, and there's enslaved right under our noses. Thank you for standing up for the rights of others and taking the time to make a difference.
All right, thank you. Is that your dad?
Okay, let's move on to public comments. Up first, we have Ronald H. Daly. Mr. Daly, could you please state your name and address for the record?
Ronald H. Daly, 1712 Northwest 20th Court, Ocala, Florida, 34475.
Okay.
I'm here because I have a problem with the Ocala Electric Utilities. I moved into this place. I have pictures here to show the size. If I may give them to somebody.
Please. Him. The mic.
That is a... Well, thank you. That is a duplex, That is a duplex, one big living room, kitchen, two average-sized bedrooms, and a small bathroom. I live alone. I do not have a washer, a dryer, a microwave. I do not cook. I eat out all the time. I don't use a stove or the oven. I have one window air conditioner in the living room, one window air conditioner in the bedroom where I sleep. Two small space heaters, one in the living room, one in the bedroom. I'm very careful about how I use it because when I first moved there 9 months ago, I had a higher setting on my AC I should have had. I ran up a good bill, but the city of Ocala made an arrangement with me. And I have a copy of that. Dated July 3rd. Let me see. They stated that in order to make it easy for me to pay the bill, I would pay every current bill starting into July, plus $24 of that big bill. I'd pay a small portion of that big bill that I ran up, plus for 6 months, I would pay $24 extra for the big bill and the current bill. Now that was working fine for 3 months. Then they told me they got a new computer. No one told me that they discontinued that plan. So I was, after 3 months, everything seemed to be going along good. They were taking money off that balance. I got down to $66. That didn't go down, but the bill went up. Now, the last bill I got really woke me up. It was $218 just for the month, not for the $66. And no way I can imagine that I ran up $218 in that setting for 1 month. So the Brother's Keeper gave me $100 to pay my bill so I wouldn't be shut off. So yesterday and today I made payments, paying plus 34 cents. And the total bill now is up to date. They changed my meter yesterday, my request, put in a new meter yesterday. But I would request that they calibrate the meter they took out. And what confuses me is they got a brand new computer in their system after 3 months of my agreement with them. Between that and the meter, I don't know which one is wrong, but I suspect there's somehow something wrong with that computer or whoever running it. Because my bill, no way, could have been $218 for 1 month. I've been very, very careful not to run it up. And I just don't see that could happen. I live alone. There's nobody else but me. And that's about all I can say. Oh, I just made the final payment today. If you want to look at, this was for the 200 and, $284.66. That was yesterday, today receipts.
Mr. Daly, I would enjoy the opportunity to meet with you and learn more about your situation.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we make errors, and perhaps we made one in this case. Can I give you a copy of my card? If you'll put your number on the back of it, I'll be happy to call you and see if we can sit down and understand this better.
I can only say I suspect if they find that meter they took out has been running a little fast and there's something else with that new computer, I don't know. But, mm-hmm. You know, if they want to show a refund in my bill, that would be appreciated.
Let's look at it. If I can invite you to put your number on here, I'll be happy to reach out to you.
Yes, sir.
Larry, at one time, did we have the ability to help people with energy audits or anything of that nature?
Okay. Yes, we did have a department that did that service energy management, but that was pretty much disbanded like 4 years ago, Matt, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
During the recession, right?
Yep. Right around 2008.
Yeah, this would have been a great example of someone that could have used the energy audit of some sort. But.
Well, I am curious, did you speak to somebody in the billing office? Do you have a name of anybody that you spoke with there?
In the Ocala Electric?
Yeah.
No, I don't recall that.
Okay.
I did talk to them, and I explained the situation. They thought it over. They said, yeah, okay, we have a good reason to give you a new meter. So apparently they agree with me.
Well, I certainly want to follow up with it, so if I can get your other information, I'll make sure that gets followed up and reported to the city manager.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
And if you would, Larry, let us know also. Keep us updated. You give him your card.
Thank you very much. Is that it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. Next, we have Marissa Hemkraut. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong.
Good afternoon. My name is Marissa Amkraut, and I'm the executive director of the Miss Gainesville Scholarship Pageant and official Miss America preliminary.
Give your address to.
My address is 2493 Burnham Woods Way, Gainesville, Florida 32605. The Miss Gainesville Scholarship Pageant is an official Miss America preliminary The Miss America pageant is the largest scholarship provider in the world, offering more than $45 million each year in scholarships. Over 12,000 young women compete in several cities across our country to earn scholarship money and to be their city's representative. Each city pageant is run solely by volunteers like myself and incorporated as nonprofit organizations. Every penny we raise goes into scholarship money for local young women. When I moved to Gainesville, I recognized that there was no Miss Gainesville pageant. There was no Gainesville representation at the state level and certainly not at the national level. And I'm proud to say that in our 7 years of existence, we've been able to make available more than $80,000 for local Gainesville young women, and we are the home of Miss Florida 2013, who has paid her way through college with money she earned from the Miss America organization. We held our pageant December 21st for 2014, and thanks to a small donation from Ocala, we're proud to say we have our first Miss Ocala's outstanding teen, Cassana Fink. Cassana is the most impressive 15-year-old young lady I have ever met. But unfortunately, I'm here to tell you that you do not have a Miss Ocala. There used to be a Miss Ocala representative, but unfortunately, several years ago, the pageant had to fold because there was no scholarship money to award to your local young women. And I'm here today to possibly become the executive director of the Miss Ocala Scholarship Pageant with money from your committee. We say in Gainesville, our city slogan is every path begins with passion. And I began my local preliminary organization because I have a passion for helping young women seek scholarship opportunities so that they can pursue their professional and personal goals. And your city slogan is find your place. And I encourage you and challenge you to find your place within our organization so that we can offer scholarship opportunities to your Ocala young women so that you can finally have an Ocala representative within the Miss America organization. And I'm seeking scholarship money so that we can crown a Miss Ocala.
Thank you so much.
If there's any brainstorming we could do to find scholarship money, Mayor Gwynn.
Do we have any money in any of the funds that we have that we could, you know, help sponsor that?
Dan, do you recall how much money we had left after council designated most of the discretionary fund? It was maybe $200 or $300.
We'll have to ask Cindy. Cindy, do you remember?
Discretionary fund.
Cindy Kelly, Deputy CFO, City of Ocala. In council's budget, they expended their entire...
For 2014, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We even added $20,000 to it so that we could...
Where did that come from?
That came out of Mark Mundell's
We redirected, if you recall, from...
From the transfer to the Economic Development Fund.
Because
council had the $6,000. Yeah. We redirected the $20,000 and you expended all $26,000.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it'd be nice if we could find a way to, you know, find them out where the money would come from, but there's a way we can, you know, research that and perhaps, you know, have a representative from...
I'd like you to know that there are 50 local representatives within the state of Florida, from cities as large as Orlando, Miami, Tallahassee, to as small as little neighborhoods in Miami. There's a Miss Kendall. They just crowned Miss Winter Garden. They crown... Miss Winter Park. There are small cities that are representative, and I don't see why there shouldn't be an Ocala representative at such a nationally recognized scholarship program.
What's the size of scholarship you're looking for?
We're seeking at least $2,000, anywhere's up to $5,000.
Did you have any more questions, Ms. Rich, or is that?
No, I was going to ask her how much money she needed. And how do you recruit the girls? I mean...
Our recruitment process is pretty easy, but every young lady is seeking money and ways to pay for college. College is expensive these days. It's hard to pay your way through college. Yes, there's Bright Futures, and yes, there are scholarships for young women who have 4.0s, but most young women have to seek other opportunities for college.
Are there requirements, are there special requirements, like for college, it would seem that a junior or senior in high school would apply for that?
Yes,
know.
We just crowned our Miss Ocala's Outstanding Teen, and it's the Little Sister Program for Miss America. More than, I don't exactly know the number, but I know it's over $50,000 is given in scholarships to state winners and to local winners across the country. Cassana is has started her own nonprofit organization. Maybe Cassana can tell you one sentence or two about her nonprofit that she began. She's actually incorporated her nonprofit.
I started my nonprofit close to a year ago. My dad went through liver failure, and he was in the ICU for 3 months, and he's returned to pretty good shape, but he won't be back to normal until he gets an organ, or a liver. And so I feel like it's now my goal, and God sent me a message that I need to really promote organ donation. And so just by reaching out and letting people know how important it is and how the ratio of organ donors to people who need organs is not matching up. So just going around to high schools and just talking about this could really help. Thank you.
So young women across our country, 12,000 little ones, just like Cassana, are starting, and they're a voice. The crown is a voice for their personal goals, for their professional goals, and we need scholarship money to make this happen. Like I said, I'm a volunteer. Every penny that we raise goes into scholarships. I do not collect a salary for doing this, and so all of my fundraising comes from approaching councils like yourself, from local business. We have to raise scholarship money to make these city pageants happen, and I'm very sad that there is no Miss Ocala, and I hope that we will finally have one for 2015.
And didn't we have, this is the one that goes to Miss Florida and then Miss America, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had Amy Mangan and Kelly Meyer Henry.
Yes.
For Miss Florida's.
You've had two from Ocala. We had our title holder from Gainesville was an Ocala native. So the young women who are in Ocala who are talented, beautiful, smart, articulate, they have to go to other cities to win pageants because you don't have the opportunity here locally for them. So they have to go to either their college or move to another city so that they can be represented on the state level. And I believe, as Cassana is a wonderful example, that you have those smart, articulate young women. And you have some more that can become smart and articulate if we are able to offer this opportunity. Maybe we can look into some educational funds to find the scholarship money or community service funds, but it should be a top priority to make this happen.
And I know that you're working with some private donors to try to solicit money from the private sector also. So, you know, I think that combined with whatever we could do would be great, but you know, she's got our name on her there, and she's representing, you know, Ocala.
Yes. You know. Cassana's wearing your beautiful, you can make it to the house. She is wearing the beautiful name of Ocala, and we hope to have a collegiate young woman wearing the Miss Ocala sash so that she can represent you maybe at the Miss America pageant.
Well, you know, she's one of the things, Marissa, you and I talked about is looking for a place to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got a place right out here in Citizen Circle that may be, you know, a great place to do it.
Yes, sir. If you find the money, I can make it happen.
All right.
I can make that promise to you. If you can find us the scholarship money, then I can make the pageant happen. But I was so sad to see Miss Ocala was one of the oldest pageants in the state locally, and it was horrible and tragic when the pageant had to close years ago because nobody would donate scholarship money in a town that has its own college.
And I might add, Marissa is also a musician in our Ocala Symphony.
Yes, I'm a violinist in the Ocala Symphony Orchestra. Sidebar.
Well, give us a little time to, and staff can maybe help out a little bit with this, and we'll make Pamela do it.
It's Rich.
Okay. Will I receive an email or a phone call, or how may I get in contact with you?
Ms. Rich, go ahead.
Marissa, what is $2,000 going to do for you?
It will
about the organization, I should say.
It will go into our scholarship fund so that we can give awards to our young women and our participants. Miss America is not a winner-takes-all organization. I went through 10 years of college and a PhD, and I'm debt-free thanks to money that I earned through the Miss America organization, and I was not Miss Florida. I just won at local levels and won at the talent level, and you don't have to win Miss America or Miss Florida to be able to pay your way through school. So that $2,000 will go into our scholarship fund.
How much are your scholarships, may I ask? And I want to ask you anything else.
We're at a minimum of $500, and that's dictated by the Miss America organization. This year, we offered 5 awards at the Miss Gainesville pageant. We crowned Miss Gainesville, Miss Florida Gator, and then Miss Gainesville's outstanding teen, Miss Florida Gator's outstanding teen, and the very first Miss Ocala's outstanding teen, all who receive scholarship money, and the runners-up.
Do you have anything for the Seminoles?
I don't know if we can make that happen. There is 2 representatives that come from Tallahassee, so obviously they support the Miss America organization, and they are represented, so I challenge you to make that happen here.
Well, I'm sure we'll try to help you in some way.
Okay. And will I, I'm sorry, to follow up, will I?
If you put your name or email on this, we'll follow up if that way if we may.
Yes, that would be fine. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Marissa.
Okay, next we have Rob Altman. Don't forget name and address, Rob, please.
Robert Altman, 1013 East Silver Springs Boulevard, Ocala, Florida. I just want to get up here tonight and let council know where we're at with our ratification on our contract. I've sent some letters back and forth with the city management and with the city attorney, and I CC'd most of you, all of you actually, with the letters. I sent a letter to the city attorney, not the city's labor attorney, just over a week ago, and I still haven't received a response back from the city's labor attorney. So we're kind of like at a stalemate right here. We don't know where we're going or what's happening. The only thing that I'm requesting is for the city to follow the law, the city administration to follow the law. And in a meeting that we had on January 14th, while we were in the middle of doing our ratification vote, we were told by Assistant City Manager Sandra Wilson that the city wasn't going to bring our contract back to council for a ratification vote. And so we suspended our voting and sent a letter to the city's labor attorney and to the city manager, letting them know why we suspended it. Florida statute and Florida law says that I have to have, first of all, a completed, corrected, because the city labor attorney sent a copy signed by Matt Brower of our contract to me a little over 2.5 months ago, but it had 5 corrections that had to be made. I sent them back to him. He made the corrections and then sent me back just those 5 articles. He didn't send me back a new, updated, corrected copy of the contract signed by the city manager. I requested that. I still have not received that. By law, and being the representative for the president of the local union, Florida law requires me not to let my members vote on a contract until I have a signed copy from the city manager, from the council, which I do not have. So the city's labor attorney requested me to give him a response over a week ago. I did, and I've asked him for a response on what the city's intentions are on moving forward, if they're gonna violate the Florida law and move forward and just impose the contract, or if they're gonna bring it back to council. I've yet to get a response. I put another letter together today and sent it out to the city's labor attorney and asked him for a response by Friday. If I don't have a response by Friday, I'm gonna have no other action but to file unfair labor practice against the city, because I haven't had no response. There's nothing coming back and forth. The city is obligated by the Florida law to bring it and have a legislative hearing and vote on our contract. And nowhere in the law does it say which side goes first, or does it negate that the city waits for the union's vote prior to bringing it back to council. There was also some other issues that we had during the meeting that I had with Sandra on the 14th of January about something that wasn't brought up at the negotiations table that we sat at for over 2.5 years to negotiate, and it was a method on how we would be paid. And that's something that I didn't bring back to the members. We didn't get clarification on it yet. We had a meeting, and Diane and Sandra are going to get back to me, and I haven't got a response back on that, on clarity on how we're going to be paid. The methodology that we're paid right now, we're salaried employees, so we have the same paycheck every week. The information I was given on the 14th of January for the first time was that they were going to pay us actual work hours each week so we'd have different paychecks as the weeks went on. And that's a complete different methodology that we've used before. And we actually brought the city in 1996, I believe it was, a lawsuit to get that straightened out that we won. And that's why it maintained that way. But I haven't had any response back from the city. We're sitting at a, I guess, a stalemate until I get answers back from the city attorney or the city manager. Does anybody have any questions? Like, the letters, like I said, have been copied to all of you. But at this point, I don't have a signed copy of the contract, and law says I have to have it before my members can vote, and I'm held responsible to that.
Mr. Brower?
There are several areas where we disagree. And what we'd like to do as a staff, recommend to council to have Wayne Halesby here on February 18th, which is your next regular council meeting, and look to ratify the agreement at that time. The benefit of having Wayne here is he can provide you an overview of the law from his perspective, the processes that are outlined in that law, as well as seek your ratification of the five items which council enforced on the shade meeting that took place on September 30th or 31st, September 30th of 2013. So what we'd like to recommend is have Wayne come on the 18th, which is 2 weeks from now, and to have that as an agenda item, to have the agreement ratified. And of course, Wayne would also serve as an asset too to help you understand the ins and outs of that labor law.
And the ratification will be for the entire agreement?
Yes.
The five imposed articles, yes. And the rest of the agreement as well.
I don't understand why we can't give an answer. The attorney didn't write it back with the letters going back and forth.
The last letter
that's
that Wayne.
The communication we need to keep going.
Absolutely.
And we haven't done it.
Well, let me provide some information on that. In fact, the last letter that Wayne sent out was when? You call Sandra? Wayne's letter was sent out 2 weeks ago.
January 21st.
January 21st, so 2 weeks ago. We are still looking through Rob's letter. It indicated there's a lot of areas in which we have disagreement on. Sandra, I don't know if you've been talking with Rob at all between that time?
I haven't.
Okay. So we could obviously reach out and make sure we maintain that communication a bit better. But we would like to have the authorization of the agreement on February 18th.
Well, he's asking for an answer by the 7th.
Because I was given by the attorney, I was given a deadline to answer him, and I did and responded to him. And actually, I thought it was ironic that he asked for it by 5 o'clock on Friday. And when I sent it to him on Friday, I got an out-of-office automatic response that he was gone from Thursday till Monday. But like I said, I have not received anything back from him.
The date that I believe Rob has imposed is a self-determined date. There's nothing, I think, inherent in the law or the statute about that. I believe it can be pushed back to the 18th if you have two willing parties. I think it would be beneficial to have Wayne here so you can hear, if you will, the other side of the story to talk about the legal
law. I don't mind having him here and listen to it. That's fine. But I think our communication is broken down here somewhere.
Wayne did have a death in the family. That may be why you didn't hear back from him.
I don't know. I'd have to get with Wayne to find out. But I'll take responsibility for that.
I'm not trying to put responsibility. I'm just saying we need better
communication. I agree.
And I think we should need go ahead and get something done and get through with it. Even if we had to have a special meeting or something like that. This is what causes problems with everything. Not good communication.
I agree. Generally, good communication is the antidote to most problems.
That's right. Yeah. You and I agree.
I agree.
Okay.
Mr. Brower, I'd like to just remind you, if I don't have a signed copy, if you vote on that on the 18th to impose that contract without providing a signed contract to us, you've violated Florida state law.
I have complete trust in Wayne Halesby's judgment on these legal matters, and we'll look to him to give me guidance on that.
Well, if any of you are interested, that chapter 447, 403, and 309 that I referenced in that letter is a Florida statute. It's real short. You can read it, and it will tell you that I have to have that before I can do a ratification vote and before you can vote on it, or you're violating the law. It's pretty short. Okay, so the other clarification that I'd like to have is I haven't had anything from Assistant City Manager Sandra Wilson on the questions I had on the 14th about the pay. and how the methodology on how we're going to be paid.
Would you like for me to respond?
Yes, please.
Rob, we do have documentation that that was clearly explained to the union, that there would be no more smoothing of the paychecks. And if you would like to see me at, you know, make a time to come and talk to me, I can let you listen to it.
Okay.
There was a recording that was very clear.
Yes,
that was explained to you.
That there would be no smoothing of the paychecks, or that we'd be paid actual hours?
Actual hours, no smoothing.
Okay. Well, I'd like to hear that. Any other questions?
No. So, question for Mr. Brower and one for Mr. Gooding. So the 18th will come before us again for ratification?
That's my understanding, in fact.
Yes. And it will be on the agenda for ratification.
And Mr. Helsby will be here also?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure Mr. Alton will be here.
And they won't have had a copy of it like Strautman's saying at that point in time?
I can assure you that whatever the state law requires, and I'm not a pundit in that, they'll have whatever copy that's necessary.
Not either, but
we can provide that. We can provide that signed copy. We can provide the signed copy if that's.
That's my follow-up to Mr. Gooding. I'd like you to at least.
How can you sign the copy before council approves it?
The statute provides for it.
Okay. I'm not a labor lawyer, so I encourage you to defer to the labor lawyer who obviously.
It ties back to the hearing that you had back in September where you enforced those items. That becomes, if I understand it, a new contract. Is that right, Sandra?
The five articles that were voted on by council will be packaged with the items, the articles that we tentatively agreed to at the table, and the articles that we had no changes in. All of the whole agreement will be packaged together and presented to council for ratification vote on the 18th.
Okay, procedurally speaking, I'd like Mr. Helsby to send us something in writing.
We can do that.
So you know, we're clear that we have an opinion from him.
Consider done.
I don't want to do something procedurally that's incorrect.
I agree.
I think we should do that.
I agree.
Ms. Rich, go ahead.
No, Rob, that letter you sent us on the first page was half black. I couldn't read it. Was anybody else's letter?
It was very hard to read because it had your logo
black
on it.
Stuff on it.
Okay.
Send us a clear letter the next time you send us something, please.
Okay. I'll have to
so we can read
get
it.
On the second. Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
What was the statute again, Rob?
447, 403, and 309. Yeah, large statutes. They're in one of the letters, and if you don't have a clear copy, I do.
Okay.
It's in the letter with the statute.
I've got the letter on my desk in there, but just wanted to make sure I had it. Thank you.
Smiley?
John, what kind of time limit are we going to give our attorney to send us something so we'll know have time to go over it?
Well, we've got a meeting on the 18th. I would imagine it's going to have to be here by next week sometime.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, plus you'll have FaceTime with them on the 17th as well with the Shea meeting that morning.
Okay. But okay. I'd just like to have something in writing for you.
Sure. No, it makes complete sense.
Will I have a response from the attorney stating that by this Friday, or do you not?
I don't see why we shouldn't. We're Tuesday. We've got several days that we can get that feedback to you.
Feedback. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Okay. Moving on. Is there any more public comments from anyone who didn't sign a card? Just make sure we didn't miss anybody. Okay. Moving on. Public hearings. Adopt resolution 2014-21 to allow the Marion Theater, Delray Square Cinemas Incorporated, to extend its license to allow beer and wine in the adjacent parking lot and along South Magnolia Avenue from Broadway to Fort King Street for a special event, Oscars viewing and red carpet street party on Sunday, March 2nd, 2014. Quasi-judicial presentation, Mr. Mundell.
Yes, as we have had another event at the Marion Theater, Delray Square Cinemas Incorporated is sponsoring an event associated with the Academy Awards. They'll have an outdoor-related event March 2nd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. with a live viewing of the awards from 8 to 11 p.m. They are looking for their alcohol license to be extended to include the parking lot area and the portion of Magnolia Avenue in front of the theater. It has been reviewed by departments. The police department has been working with them. Staff recommends approval.
So moved. A motion?
Second.
And a second. Any public comment? Any further council comment? Angel, call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. Okay, second and final reading of ordinances. All are public hearings. Adopt ordinance 2014-8, area zoning from M1 light industrial to B4 general business for approximately 12 acres of property located at 1100 Southwest 38th Avenue. Case number ZON13-0011. OPZ, November 4th, 2013, approved it on a 5-0 vote. It's quasi-judicial, it's postponed from the December 17th meeting and the January 21st, 2014 city council meetings. Introduced by council member James Hilty, and in his absence, Mr. Musley is going to read the card. Oh, I didn't know you were ready.
I got it. I'm ready.
I was ready. That's okay.
Well, I'm going to defer to Ms. Rich. She's back for the first time. You're going to get back in the saddle again.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. President, I move that ordinance number 2014-8 be adopted as provided by the Charter of the City of Ocala, accepted adoptions by sections on second reading be waived, and based upon staff's and P&Z's recommendation for case number ZON13-0011 and other evidence as presented to City Council.
Do you have a motion? Do we have a second?
So moved. A second.
We have a second.
An ordinance amending the zoning map of the City of Ocala, Florida, changing from M1 light industrial to B4 general business for certain property located at 1100 Southwest 38th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Case number ZON13-0011, providing for severability, providing for the appeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Mondale, do you have anything to add? Sorry.
We requested the postponement to this meeting. I think we need additional time. The engineers are still looking at the site. We've made some progress, but I'm requesting that we postpone it to April 1st. This will give us enough time to see if the project will work on this site. It's keep it alive. I just hate that if we withdraw it, then we have to start all over. So there's a slight hope to keep it. I would rather just keep postponing it. So April 1st is 60 days approximately.
Need a different motion, Mr. Gale?
The motion just would be to postpone this matter until the April 8th City Council meeting
April
to continue
1st.
The public.
April 1st.
April 1st City yep. Council meeting to continue the public hearing to that same time.
Wow. So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any public comments on this issue?
Ty, if I may, Council President, will you take just a moment and explain why the additional time is necessary so they have some context?
Yeah. The property, as you know, was a manufacturing facility. And at the time when it was built prior to Meadowbrook Industrial Park, which came behind it. And at that time, there was a large retention area in the front of the manufacturing facility. So if Ford of Ocala was going to use that site, they wanted to be able to use it for the display of cars and parking of the cars. So we were looking at what could be done to either move the retention area or do it off-site. And that's what we don't think we need all that surface area for the drainage. So I think that's what the engineer, city engineer, has been working with their engineer. They're just not, I don't think, ready, and I haven't gotten an answer yet if the site is still feasible. So it's still one of the sites they're considering. I have talked to the property owner and sent him the email about what we're doing and trying to address the issue. So I think they should have an answer in 60 days.
Okay. Now the first motion and the second, what do we do with that?
A motion to continue preempts the other motion.
Okay.
So you can just, don't have to do anything with it.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, we have a motion, a second. There's no further comment. Angel, call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. Okay, general business.
Adopt Budget Resolution 2014-127, amending the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget to accept and appropriate funds from the State of Florida Department of Transportation for performance of an inland freight logistics feasibility study, introduced by Councilmember Brent R. Molliver on January 21st, 2014. Presentation by Mr. Mundell.
Council will recall that in this current year budget, you allocated $150,000 towards the proposed inland freight feasibility study. Council has received, the city has received several proposals from consultants to help conduct that study. This item allows for the city to receive $100,000 from FDOT towards that study purpose for a total of $250,000. Staff recommends adoption.
Okay. We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Are there any public comments on this issue? Any further comments by council? Angel, call the roll.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. 6B, Adopt Budget Resolution 2014-128, amending the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget to accept and appropriate funds from reserve for contingencies for HR and risk professional services, legal services. Presentation by Sandra Wilson.
This is a request to for additional funds for the Human Resources and Risk Management budget in the amount of $144,000 for professional legal services from our labor attorney, Alan Norton and Blue.
Okay. Council members, any comments for Ms. Wilson?
Yeah, this is for the remainder of this fiscal year right now we're in.
Yes. For the remainder of the fiscal year, we've had a number of arbitrations and grievances. We have a new union that we're dealing with, and the current funding in the budget
how much was that funding?
$40,000.
Mm-hmm. So the total will be $184,000 or $144,000?
$184,000.
So, okay. Wow.
Expensive.
So moved.
We have
That's
a motion.
What you're waiting on.
Second.
And we have a second. Are there any public comments? Any further comments by council members? Angel?
Ms. Rich?
Call the roll.
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. 6C, approve renewal agreement for employment and labor law legal services. Presentation, Sandra Wilson.
This is the third renewal for our agreement for labor and employment services with Alan Norton and Blue. We're requesting that it be renewed for the February 13, 2014 through February 14, 2015 year.
And how much is that for?
There's no set amount, it just sets the hourly rates. There's an annual retainer of $1,000, and then the hourly rates are in the agreement.
Okay.
What do they charge on an hourly rate?
For Wayne Helsby, it's $225 an hour. For non-partner associates, it's $200 an hour. And for paralegals, it's $95 an hour.
Mr. Chairman, shouldn't we have some kind of stoppage or something along the way instead of an open book contract?
Typically,
I know you can't always put your finger on.
Well, typically these things are billed by the hour. So that's the difficulty of it.
But we could stop it somewhere until we see if we have any more money to go, or if we got up to that.
Or what we could do is when we reach a certain point.
That's
have staff notify us that we're at this point.
Well, that's what we just did.
No.
In the previous motion,
right.
That's exactly what we just accomplished. We set a budget, okay? We hit our budget. So to spend any more money, we had to amend the budget. Isn't that what we just did in the motion previously?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
You're correct.
Okay. That covers
this. So we already have a stop.
You're correct.
This is for this particular agreement, yes.
But I guess what I'm saying, though, is as we go through the year, just a quarterly update where we stand on those monies.
On expenditures?
Yeah, within that budget.
Okay.
I mean, I understand we have a budget limit there that we disapprove, but just a quarterly update.
Do you want just this legal service or all the city's legal services across the board?
No, just, you know, we see the rest of them.
Okay.
The most of the rest of them, anyway.
Just because we have a budget doesn't mean we have to go up to that budget.
That's true. The budget is a projection.
That's
what
right.
We think we would spend. Oftentimes, we can't anticipate.
I know. I'm just saying we can get a, like Sandra could give us a.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to do that.
And, you know, we have to watch our P's and Q's,
sure.
too.
Sure.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second? We do not. Do we have a motion and a second?
Yeah.
Motion?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? Angel? Call the roll.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Wesley?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. 6D, approved contract, ITB number 13-058, various front load steel containers in the amount of $113,334 to Iron Container LLC. Presentation by Catherine Cameron.
Thank you. From time to time, it becomes necessary to replace some of our commercial dumpsters. This bid is to do just that. It's a request to approve the bid to purchase about 188 containers. We currently have approximately 2,400 containers in the field. So this is a request to just approve the bid.
Okay. Any questions?
Well, don't we take and maintain these containers and redo them?
We do. They at a certain point, though, you can no longer do that. They reach their usable life.
Useful life.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But you need 188 on hand to keep things moving?
Correct. We replace them as needed. We don't have a specific schedule to replace them, but as needed, if somebody calls in and reports it, or if we see it out in the field. And then, of course, when new businesses open, we provide a new container. So these are to keep in inventory and to do replacements.
Is this normal, that many on inventory?
It varies from year to year. We did keep an inventory of about 3%. This would bring us up to 8%, but we do need to replace some containers.
I understand it takes 3 days to repair a container.
I'm not sure. I'd check with.
Yeah, I've already checked it out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It does vary from year to year. There are some years we replace several. There's been other years where we've only spent $52,000 to replace. Obviously, we prefer to repair, but they do, you know, at some point you can't repair them anymore and they have to be replaced.
I understand. You need something to back you up. I understand that.
Correct.
But I was thinking 188 is a lot at one time.
Well, we have 2,400 in the field, and then again, as new businesses.
But you are fixing them as they get bad, too.
Yes, sir, we are.
That's a lot of.
I've got one question. What do you do with the ones that are, you know, the ones that can't be repaired? What happens to them? Are they recycled?
If they're recyclable, yes. Mm-hmm. They do become recycled.
Okay. Any further questions for Ms. Cameron? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any public comment? Back to council. Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Leslie?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. E, approve the renewal of 3 investment manager contracts for a total estimated cost of $135,000. Presentation by Diane Reichert.
On the agenda tonight, you have 3 separate asset management firms that are used to diversify our investments. The renewals have been exhausted, and these companies have been providing excellent service. Their current fees are highly competitive. They have been outperforming the benchmarks, and they're highly ranked amongst the industry peers. And therefore, because of the best value that the city's getting, we recommend approval to extend the contracts for another year to save the city the money that we would have to do to go out and search for a new investment company.
Any questions for Diane, Council?
I move.
We have a motion?
Second.
And a second. Any public comment? Back to Council. Any further questions? Angel, call the roll. Go ahead, Mr. Moore.
You think it's cheaper to do this than to get more bids?
Yes, sir. We know the industry, and we have a very good price on what we're getting.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Thank you.
Having served on that board, it's a very competitive bid.
Yeah, those gentlemen do a real good job.
Yeah. Call the roll, Angel.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. F, approved contract ITB 13-056 fire hydrant flow testing and maintenance contract, phase three, to R&M Services Solution LLC for $49,802. Presentation by Mr. Novak.
Okay. There are currently over 3,500 fire hydrants in the city's system. This project involves the flow testing, maintenance, and coating of a targeted number of the fire hydrants in our system. So staff is seeking council approval to move ahead with awarding the contract to the successful bidder, R&M Service Solutions, at a cost of $49,802 for the year.
I so move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
And a second. Any public comments on this issue? Back to council. No further comments. Call the roll.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. 6G has been pulled. Are we allowed to get an explanation for the reason to pull it?
Yes, we've had a bid protest filed.
Okay. Just wanted that first. Just wanted that on there for the record. Okay, consent agenda item seven, consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one roll call vote. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless members of council or public request specific items be removed for separate discussion and action. Councilman, Mr. Molliver, do you have anything you want pulled?
No, I don't.
Mr. Musley?
No.
Ms. Rich?
No.
And I want item A pulled for a brief discussion. So do I have a motion for the remainder?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any public comment? Back to council. Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. A, adopt budget resolution 2014-126, amending the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget amendment to replace two vehicles for the police department. It was introduced by Councilmember Jay Musley on January 21st, 2014. The reason I pulled this up, I've noticed there's been a kind of a time lapse from the time we've had vehicles that are, for whether they're in a car crash or burn up or whatever the heck goes on. And I'm a little concerned why it takes so long for a first responder vehicle to be replaced. And I needed to know if there's a faster way that we can expedite those vehicles getting back into the mainstream. And that's the reason I pulled it. I just want to know if there's a faster procedure or why does it take so long?
Well, I know that, when the vehicles are involved in accidents, it takes time to subrogate to get money back on the claim when it's not our fault. So we know how much we have to budget to replace the vehicle. That's part of the delay. I'm going to ask Chris Dobbs to come up to if he has anything to add to why the purchases have been delayed.
Chris Dobbs, Director of Fleet and Facilities. Senator is right. Once risk is called, they have to get an assessment, and whether or not it's a third party or whether it's our own fault, we have to get it evaluated, and then we have to get the bids out for the vehicles, and in this case, the motorcycle. And it just took time to get all that together.
Okay. Well, whatever we can do to expedite this, because it seems like, let's see, which one that, was it the motorcycle that took the longest?
It's like July.
And
even when we get to the point of actually saying, okay, we're going to get another motorcycle, then they got to build the thing
to the
specs.
And then we meet with the police department to make sure we're getting the specs that they want for the motorcycle. So it's going back and forth with the departments. But I agree with you. It does take too long, and
we've got to figure a way to do it. Maybe you can...
Let us accept that challenge and see if we can't figure out how to streamline that.
I think it's important because, when you're talking public safety,
right?
Somehow, when those vehicles are missing, it seems like we're either doubling up on the existing ones, or there's a vehicle missing someplace in the field. And I would hate to think if something was broke down that we don't have one.
Right. Perhaps there's a way that we can advance money through all the R&R fund, and then no one's going to get a reimbursement from risk or the private
entity.
Maybe
we can look at that.
And that's what we've talked about with Jared.
Okay.
For them to go ahead and pay for that, and then they can worry about getting the money.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my concern is just...
And I agree. That's a lot of our concerns, too.
Not that the motorcycle officer needs to give me a ticket sooner, but he may.
Right.
And no, we need to get those vehicles back out there on the streets and helping our citizens.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was it. On my soapbox.
So moved.
I knew I'd get a motion.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any public comment? Any council comment? Call the roll.
Ms. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. Molliver?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye. Let's see. 9, introduction and first reading of ordinances. Introduction of resolutions. And we are going to pull item A. And I think that was legal wanted that pulled, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on to B. B, introduce ordinance 2014-19 concerning elections and composition of canvassing board.
Rich.
Introduced by Ms. Rich.
An ordinance of the City of Ocala, Florida concerning elections and the composition of the canvassing board, amended section 26-5, providing for the appointment of the supervisor of elections to the canvassing board, providing for the appointment of an alternative if the supervisor of elections is unable to serve, providing for the canvassing board duties, providing for severability, providing for the repeal of conflicting ordinances, and providing an effective date.
And I'm assuming that's why Mr. Wilcox is here. Always good to have you, Wesley.
Well, he needs to get up here and speak at least. I don't want
Would you like to speak?
Not have the opportunity.
We'd love to have you speak.
Come to the dais.
Thank you very much. Wesley Wilcox, Marion County Supervisor of Elections. Obviously, being an elected official, never give up the opportunity to speak in public. One of the first lessons that you learn. But as we saw and over the last few years, we've kind of been discussing, currently the canvassing board consists of the city attorney and the city clerk. Although it's not been a challenge to us in the past years, any decision-making process, there's been a majority with the two of them. In the future, if there ever were such a case, it would be nice to have a third member to that canvassing board so that there would be a clear delineation. You would have a majority vote at any point in time. So I think it's a good addition to your charter, if that's the correct terminology. So I'm as the supervisor of elections, I would be proud to serve on the canvassing board. And, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and that was this introduction. So, utility report. Mr. Novak, I'm sure you have something important to tell us.
I do. Actually, given the opportunity we had last week to give some updates on some informational items, I only have one for tonight. This concerns a visit we've made to a subdivision called Rivendell. Some council may be aware that they were written up in an article in the Star Banner. Is when I became aware of the situation, the head of their board, Mr. Ashlock, was concerned about what he felt was the utility's refusal to allow them to plant some landscaping in the right-of-way. Apparently, some of the houses in the subdivision face against the new flyover on 42nd Street, and the residents were concerned that they were getting a lot of noise and visual pollution into their homes. Normally, we do not allow planting in the right-of-ways, but seeing as how upset they were, I went yesterday and was accompanied by the director of electric and the supervisor of the transmission distribution team to go out and meet with the board, Mr. Ashlock, and walk the property with them, as well as the right-of-way. His concerns extended to trying to put something in the right-of-way to give them some privacy, and also he was concerned about a DRA on the southwest 31st Street border there. So after reviewing it, we really could not find a way to clear the kind of foliage he wanted to put there. We explained the reasons for it. However, we promised that we would try and seek other solutions for them. To that extent, I have already contacted the city engineer and asked him to take a look at both the property wall and the DRA, and promised Mr. Ashlock we'd stay on it until we try and find something to resolve for all of them. It may not be a perfect solution, but we'll see what we can do. So we'll keep council appraised as we continue through this process.
And I was driving by while Mr. Novak was in intense discussions over there, and it looked like he had everything well under control. Thank
we
you.
Try, we try. If there are any questions.
No. You didn't have anything else, did you?
No, I do not.
And somebody's going to help Mr. Daly figure out what's going on with this bill.
He's already on my list of things to do the first thing tomorrow.
Because, you know, he seems like he just needs a little help with it, and we'll figure out what's going on.
We will get him some support.
Internal auditor's report, number 11. Jeannie said that she didn't have anything to add, and you have your little list. So if no one has any further questions for Jeannie. Okay, we'll move on. 12, city manager's report.
Thank you, Council President. I'm going to hand out two documents. One is entitled Council Strategic Priorities. These were delineated at last week's city council retreat. Take one each and pass it down. What I'm looking for is your verification that this is comprehensive of your priorities, so I can write that, hand that out. And then following close on the trail of that one is the city council strategic plan. Again, if you'll just take one and pass that down.
And of course, if Ms. Rich has something to add, staff, I'd like you to at least get with her and make sure that we haven't missed something.
In fact, Mrs. Rich, I think Lori is trying to set a time up where we can sit down and we can talk about what we did at the strategic retreat and get your feedback very appropriately. If council can take just a moment and review the list that was assimilated from the feedback that we received from you last week, and verify that it is indeed comprehensive of the themes, the universal themes that were talked about. If the list is comprehensive, if I can invite you to turn to your strategic plan, what we're going to do is we're going to drop these items, your list of priorities. You'll notice on the far left-hand side or far right-hand side of your strategic plan, we're going to drop those in to the very last column to be the priority action items for each of those goals. So we'll drop those in there, and so you'll see that in there each quarter as we update you on the strategic plan. Mm-hmm. But before I drop them in, I wanted to make absolutely sure council felt like the list I've circulated is comprehensive of the priority themes that you discussed last week.
Can you answer me a question? Quality of place, is that the projects that we're going to do for Scott Springs, Fort
yes.
King,
yes.
that encompasses all
yes.
of that?
Okay.
Well, refresh my memory on what fundraising was.
Yeah.
That was really about partnering with stakeholders that share similar interests with us to see if there's ways in which we could reduce costs.
Okay.
Maybe you need to describe that a little differently.
We will.
Because I couldn't remember that at all.
Absolutely.
You could describe it to the county. Reasonable IT and government relations. I think we have, that I remember, I think we have everything. I'm not sure
And if you find that there's something missing, you know, you go home and it dawns on you, there might be something missing, I certainly welcome that feedback, and we'll grab that, include that in the strategic plan. But before we drop these into it, I just wanted to make sure that you had a final look-see before we drop those into your strategic plan.
Well, and let's make sure we have Mrs. Rich's stuff added to the list before we get any further.
And Matt, where are we on our IT study? I see you have IT down here as a strategic priority. And then we did that study, and it should be completed shortly, right?
Yeah, I've got a meeting tomorrow with the IT consultants. I'll get a better update, and I'll send you an email as to the status of that.
Help with this item here.
Yes.
IT, obviously.
Yes. Okay.
These aren't in any order.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Okay. A couple other things. If you'll notice under item 15, informational items, there is a work session planned for Tuesday, February 25th at 11:30 to talk about the Sprint building. What I'd like to do is seek council's permission to place on that work meeting a discussion on the Ocala development or the hotel project. I think it'd be valuable to the council members to get an update on that project at the same time that we're talking about, of course, the Sprint building. So with your permission, staff will be ready. Would you be okay with adding an update on that project to that same work meeting schedule?
I mean, I personally have an issue with it, but I don't want, it needs to be an update so we don't take away from.
Right. It is only an update.
Yeah, because we did this once before, and Ocala development took up a little more time, and Sandy did not have as much time. So.
He will be going first.
Okay.
Sandy will be going first, and whatever time is remaining will be granted for the update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody have any problems with that?
No, I feel the same way.
Okay.
Two more items. On your sheet, on your desk, you'll have, I was asked to make sure you're aware of the groundbreaking for the YMCA expansion. This is slated for Wednesday, February 19th at 12 p.m. Does everyone have a copy of that handout? Everyone got that? Brent, you have that?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay.
I saw it.
If you'll just make a mental note, again, it's Wednesday, February 19th at 12 p.m. for the groundbreaking on the facility expansion at the YMCA. And then finally, I'll be out of the office Thursday and Friday of this week attending the FCCMA Winter Summit in Daytona. And then I'll be in Orlando on Tuesday at FMPA, hopefully gaining some ground on the demand-side management issue. That was a special meeting that was arranged to continue the dialogue on that important issue. And Council President, that's all I have.
Okay. Let's moving along to the Mayor and Police Chief report. That means you do have to participate, Chief. Mayor first, though.
All right, I've got a couple of things I wanted to make you aware of. The week of the 17th, our friends from Ireland will be in town for the week. There's a dinner that we're having on February 19th at 7:30 at Brick City. It's a dinner being catered by Mojo's. So I would invite all the council members to attend if you would like to.
When?
Ms. Rich, February the 19th. At 7:30.
Where at?
At the Brick City. Right before that last year they went over the Corkscrew and made some wine, so they're going to bottle the wine that they made a year ago, and then after we're done with that, then we're going to go over to Brick City.
Where did they make the wine?
At the Corkscrew.
Down on Broadway.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And so they're going to bottle that.
Should be good.
Let's hope so.
If it was beer, it might be better.
If it was moonshine, it might be
Irish
better.
Irish drink a lot of beer. Don't look at me like that.
I thought you liked gin.
I'm talking about John.
Ms. Rich is on the gin. She likes the gin.
Drink beer.
All right, so you're all invited to attend. The other thing, working with code enforcement and Chip on getting the Ocala sign down on top of the Sovereign Building, and we're progressing on that. That's been 3 years we've been waiting for that, so I've decided to move forward with enforcing that ordinance and working with the magistrate to get that down. And then I've got some comments under mayor's comments when we get to comments. And then I've got something else I want to read from the chief under comments, but if he would like to join us. Oh, and the other thing, tomorrow we're going to Jacksonville to receive an award for their certification. So,
Greg Graham, police chief. Thursday morning in Jacksonville, we're gonna receive our reaccreditation from the Florida Commission on Police Accreditation. Welcome back, Ms. Rich.
Thank you.
I really don't have anything other than our UCR numbers came in this past week for last year's crime numbers. Violent crime is down 12% and property crime is down 8%. And we're leading the state. And Marion County is leading the state in crime reduction.
Clearance rates is 68%.
68% clearance rate. And you saw what our response times were. So.
Very good.
Yep. Things are well.
Any questions for the chief?
Awesome.
Thank you for
messing
up here, Chief.
Thanks.
Okay, City Attorney's report.
Nothing, Mr. President.
Okay. Informational items, calendaring items. City Council Executive Session, Monday, February 17th, 2014, at 9 a.m. in the City Manager's Conference Room. Number two, City Council Work Session, Tuesday, February 25th, 2014, at 11:30 a.m., Sprint Building and Ocala Development Update here in the Council Chamber.
We have one. The one on the 18th? Or the 17th?
Yes.
That is a holiday. President's Day.
Only a banker would know that, Mr. President.
You know, could we not have any comments from our city attorney? Or maybe it's time to review his contract.
My bill's not on there tonight.
Lawyer's day.
Leave it to a lawyer. See, they can bill every day, okay? So,
just because of that, I'm going to work on something for Gateway Bank that day.
Okay.
If council's druthers.
No, I'll be there.
Okay. Well, since we.
I just wanted to make sure you were going to be there.
I plan on working a full day that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now I got me all off kilter here. Let's see. 2B, comments by Mayor. Do you have some more?
Yeah, just a few comments. It's kind of tied to one of the questions that need to get answered. What's the policy on having council members on requests for proposals? We used to have committees, that would, look at the RFPs and everything. What's our policy on that now? I've noticed that some of the larger ones, we don't have council members on them.
I don't know if we have a formal policy about when council members serve on various requests for proposals. My personal feelings are generally when we know it's going to be very visible. Perhaps a proposal that's going to have a lot of public feedback on it. I feel there's value in having a council member there so they can understand the dynamics of the bid process and what's going on. So I don't think there's a formal policy, but from time to time, I think it has value to me anyway if council members serve on certain committees.
Yeah, everything we do is public, I was just wondering if we had one. If not, we might want to look at that again. The other thing is, can I get a copy of that bid protest?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll email it to you right now.
Pardon?
I'll email it to you right now.
Okay. Yeah, this is the second bid protest we've had in a long period of time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that. The other thing, it was approached by business owner downtown. The street between Broadway and Fort King, or what street that is, one that's in front of La Cuisine, back of the Marion Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had asked if there was a way that we can, I don't know if Ty or Mark, the right people, the lamp post that we have in front of the pawn shop and, you know, that same street, if there's a way that, that we could put some perhaps lamp post on that street. I don't know what the cost is, if it's in our budget, but if we could look at that, would that be possible? They were asking. So
Mr. Mayor, a couple times in the past few years, we've had similar requests, and the electric utility department did go out and look at the areas to assess the lighting levels, and in many cases made some minor modifications, either adding an additional light or changing the wattage of the bulb. So I think Larry's team would probably be best.
Yeah, I mean, the lamp posts don't exist, and they were wanting, you know, to put lamp posts in there to make it look like this other street. Yeah.
I misunderstood. I'm sorry. Decorative light.
Yeah.
Match. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want like an acorn light that matches what's on the
street. Yeah, just to tie all that in across there. And then the other thing they had asked, you know, you have that antique store that just opened there by La Cuisine, by the ice cream. When I go in there, Ocala Wine Experience. There's a loading area there that they're using a lot. It's not really a loading area, but they're using it for that. If there's a way that that particular space there could be made a loading area. So if you could check and see what would be involved in that, if it's even permissible. You know, they were asking me, and I told them I'd, you know, we counsel tonight, and I would ask the question.
Can you clarify, is it right in front of the building?
Right in front of the building, you know, yeah.
What was the name of the line?
It's the that antique store that just opened up.
Okay.
It's right next to the Ocala Wine Experience.
Okay.
On that side of the street, same side of the street as La Cuisine. So people pull up there, drop things off to load them, or they buy things and then they put the car in front and, you know, load them on there.
You want to see if that could be done away with, or?
No, it doesn't exist. If it could be made a loading zone.
Got it.
It's just a regular parking space.
Got it.
Now. That's all I've got.
Okay. Let's see here. Comments by council members. Let's start over here with Mr. Molliver.
I don't have anything right now. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Rich?
I'm just happy to be back walking without a stick. My children tell me I walk better now than I did before I had bad knees.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm just happy to be back and to get involved. And Matt, I'll come up with my strategic ideas.
I look forward to it.
And get them to you. We'll find a time to sit down and talk. And that's it.
And just happy to be a Seminole, right, Mr. Rich?
That's right.
I want you to know, when you were gone, I held the torch high.
You did what?
I held the torch high for the Seminoles.
I did.
The question whether I'd even talk to you about that, and I assured Jimmy that that did take place.
You know, there's just a certain amount you've got to take. And I'm at my limit. Okay. Mr. Leslie?
Before you move on.
Yes, ma'am.
You're not at your limit. One year when the Gators won everything, I don't know whether you remember this.
I remember every time the Gators
won. But they decorated my chair with blue and gold or whatever their colors are.
Orange and blue, Ms. Rich.
Whatever they are.
It's God's colors,
but,
ma'am.
But they decorated my chair with Gator colors and made me a little thing to put on my head. So I had to sit up in council meeting all night looking like a Gator. Now that's when you've had your all you can take, when we do that for you with Seminoles.
But blue and gold's Notre Dame colors. That's God's color.
Oh, well, what color is
blue and orange? That's
orange,
God's
colors. Right? Like it. Orange.
Orange. Mm. I'm sorry. Orange and what?
No, you're not.
Well, thank you, Ms. Rich, but I do refuse to wear feathers. Mr. Musley?
Well, I was going to say I was thankful to have Ms. Rich back until she had to go on this Seminole rant.
I started that.
We are happy to have you back. You were missed, and you were missed last week as we went through our strategic planning goals. So we're glad to have you back. I don't have any other comments. Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple short ones. Catherine, I think we had spoke about this in public meeting, but about having Public Works do a little bit more of the cleaning of the sidewalks downtown. And since I couldn't remember if I actually said that or not, I would like to see if we could add a rotation or two. And my thought process is that we have so many more people coming downtown now that the sidewalks seem to get a little bit dirtier.
They do, and we are looking into that. In fact, we're looking into a couple of machines to assist us. There's
okay,
one called
a
gum buster, and I'll be bringing you back some information on that. But we are looking into improving.
And I'm sure that's something we'll have to buy to keep the sidewalks clean.
Yes. Well, maybe buy or outsource, have somebody do it for us, but we'll bring that back to you.
Okay. Thank you. And it's Mr. Brower's birthday. We're not going to sing. But
thank you.
If you get an opportunity, wish Mr. Brower a happy birthday. And if you have an opportunity for Jackie to make you a carrot cake for your birthday, please accept that because it's the best damn carrot cake I've ever had.
I got to go get a piece.
You better get to it. They're really good. But with that, I have no other further comments. We're adjourned.
You know, when I was over there, I was close to the trash.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true.